Why is it that I'm so connected to the situation, but it's slowly killing me inside? I can't seem to find my way, I'm searching for the deep, but all I find is hollowness inside. I've been floating in this ocean like a bottle, I'm just trying to find a home. I wonder if what you read will be just like a novel.
What's happening, everybody? Welcome to Couples Conflict. Today is our very first show that we are broadcasting on our new station, which is KEBN Radio. So we're very happy about you guys joining us. Thank you for joining us today. And, of course, I am your greatest uncle, the best uncle in the USA, Uncle Pappy. And I have also Lady Sagacity in studio with us today. Lady Sagacity, how are you today?
I am good. Hi, everyone.
Great, great. I'm glad that you are here with us. We are doing this show because we have realized that a lot of people are going through divorce and they're dealing with a lot of pains of that process, and not just divorce, but just breakups in general. And there's really no support there. You know, if you're going to try to save your marriage, then there's plenty of marriage counselors in church, out of church. But who's actually there to help you through the process if you're actually going through an actual divorce or hard breakup? So that's the point of having this couple's conflict, because it does create conflict in our lives. So one of the ways that you can check us out is on our Facebook page, which is Couples Conflict, and that's on our Facebook page. And also, you can also reach us, because this is under the umbrella of our main company, which is The Conflicts of Life. So just hit us up at our email address, which is theconflictsoflife@gmail.com. All right. Today's show is called What You Said About Me Hurt Me. What You Said Hurt Me is what we're going to be talking about today. We have a couple of questions that came in, but we're also just going to talk a little shop today. Are you okay with that, Lady Sagacity?
Yes.
All right, Lady Sagacity. All right, here it goes. All right, everybody. Many times as we are growing up and into adulthood, we don't really hang on to the good words that say that people say to us or about us. Oftentimes, we typically will hang on to the words that were negative. Why do you think it's like that?
I think because in our psychological psyche, we remember words that are negative because of the pain that we feel once those negative words are spoken. Negative words have more power, I believe, than positive words, because negative words will cause a psychological and a physiological reaction in our bodies that sometimes stays with us long after the injury occurs.
Wow. So it sounds to me like, you know what, I put more value on what you say negatively about me than positively, because I'm getting my self-worth based off of your judging words, not off of your reassuring words, I would say. So if you say that you don't like the way my hair is, that means more to me than 10 people who said they actually liked the way my hair was. I don't know why we place more value on the negative, but it
is. Think about the media.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the media today, you notice that people are more aware of what's going on negatively in the world than they are of positive things, because negative energy sometimes gets more viewers than positive things. We tend to be more drawn to, oh, what's going on over here, or what they're doing over here, that sort of thing, versus, okay, look at the positive things that are going on in the world. We don't necessarily hear a lot of the positive things in the media because bad news sells more. It gets more viewers.
Well, let's deal with some bad news here. You know, let's deal with this first question that came in. This one says, I keep feeling the pain that my ex-husband said about me. He said that I was never a good wife and that I could not cook good and that sex with me was a horrible experience. He said that I was not a good mother and that he never even loved me and always wondered what he even seen in me. Although we are divorced now, I still hear his words echoing in my head. How do I handle this? tough one here, huh?
Well, first of all, why is he still in your head and in your thoughts?
That's a good question. That's a good question. I think because, and I don't know this lady, ma'am, if you're listening, here's what we want to say to you. I think a lot of times the problem is exactly what we're saying. It sounds like you bought into his ideology about who you were. And let's go a little bit deep on that. Oftentimes, we tend to view ourselves through the eyes of somebody else because we don't have a solid foundation of who we are for ourselves. And I know in the church we learned that, hey, you know, even if others don't accept who we are, God loves us, God made us unique, and we hear all of that stuff.
We don't believe it.
We don't believe it. Come on now. Let's tell the truth. We don't believe that crap. Mm-hmm. We know it's true intellectually, but emotionally and in our soul, we don't believe it. We have a need for those in our inner circle to validate who we are.
Right.
And anytime they say anything that goes against the grain of us feeling good about ourselves, we tend to draw so much energy from that and just believe this, that their word is the gospel versus what the Bible said is the gospel about us. And that's quite unfortunate. And it sounds like this. You're asking a good question. Why are you believing him? Why is his word still in your head? That tells me that at some point we started believing what this man had to say about you.
That's right.
That's mm-hmm. a problem. What do you think?
Yeah, because there was some level of I'm not good enough already there in yourself, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
Not really sure. But although words do have power, so if your husband, who is your soulmate, who is your other half, because you become one.
Mm-hmm.
So if that oneness is injured by someone such as your husband, because he is you, basically. You guys are one. You guys are not separate beings. You are separate beings, but in terms of you all are not separate in terms of a unit as a couple. So when he's told you these words, it hurts more because you all share a connection with one another as a husband and wife team. So his words have more power with you than someone on the streets would have because you guys are one. But my question is, if his words are still echoing in your head, have you even began to process who you are as a person? Have you begun to validate who you are as a person? Or have you allowed your self-worth to be based on his feelings about you?
You know, it's so strange. We'll get into an argument with our spouse, and, you know, they'll say hurtful words to us, and we'll turn around and say, no, you wrong. And you don't know nothing about me. You this and that. And so what about you? And you this and that. And it's so funny, we will verbally defend that they are wrong in front of them, but we'll walk away believing that what they said were actually true. And that's kind of a cold shot. Because if we walk away with the same ideology that we had in their face and walk away telling ourselves that, you know, what they said about me is just outrageous and wrong, then I think that we can keep our buoyancy, our emotional, I call it emotional buoyancy, or float our feelings above what a person says about us. But for some reason, we defend ourselves in front of our spouse, but then we walk away with the belief that, hey, maybe they were right about me. Maybe they did do this. Maybe I am not this. Maybe they were justified in their opinions about me, as opposed to the fact maybe that was just blatantly their personal opinions. Maybe they're having a bad tampon day or whatever it is, you know. But we tend to just believe it and take it as gospel, and that's problematic. Let's break this down a little bit. Let's go a little bit deeper, because oftentimes when people say certain things that resonate with us, I notice that people who are just confident, they can handle criticism, and maybe they're just displaying it or pretending, whatever. But the point is that when they get criticized by somebody else, they say, well, kiss both my butt cheeks, and I'm going to keep it moving in Jesus' name, right? Okay, so that's what they do. They don't trip off of it. They don't bother with it. They just keep it moving. But if you're constantly stuck in the position of what this person said, and here's the thing about it. You could have been divorced 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 years ago, and these words will still be hitting in your head because of the simple fact, are you believing that it has some level of truth in it?
Mm-hmm.
Get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And if it has some level of truth, that you believe is some level of truth, that's where the issue comes in. So now it is not the weight of his words that has the most influence. It's actually your opinions of yourself. And so with that, let's put on some scuba gear. Ready to go deep, Lady Sagacity?
Well, I think here what we're dealing with is rejection issues here, because again, rejection from her spouse. He doesn't like her cooking. He doesn't like their sex life. So at this point, you're feeling rejection from your spouse, and it hurts, because we all want to be accepted. We all want to feel loved. And when your spouse tells you, oh, I don't like your cooking, or I don't like your sex life, and you're basically giving yourself, you're serving your spouse by cooking, you're serving by giving them a part of your body, part of yourself, your soul, because when you lay down with a person, whether it's your husband or your whomever, you're giving basically the most precious part of your being to someone, the most precious part of who you are. And so when someone tells you you're not good enough and what you're contributing is not something that I take pleasure in, that's rejection, and that hurts.
Mm-hmm.
So it's deeper than just him saying it. It's saying, okay, enough, I'm rejecting you based on what I feel you are not doing well in the relationship. So it's cooking and it's sex, but those are two important things that a woman feels that she contributes to a marriage.
And this guy goes even deeper. He even says that she's not even a good parent. I mean, my God, dude. First of all, from a man's perspective, if you feel this strongly about her not being able to meet all these different needs, then she was never the problem. You were, because guess what? You're the one who picked her. So you had the problem with your choosing. You are the problem with how you are making your selections. You know, and I feel for this woman, because, you know, I'm sitting up here cooking for your behind, and I'm not taking sides because I don't know. I'm just hearing your story, ma'am, so I'm just going to take your side right now because I don't hear from him. But here's the deal. I'm cooking for your behind. I'm cleaning for you. I'm helping to raise your children, your big head son. No, I'm just playing because I don't know what they kids look like. But the point is, you know, I'm doing all of this, and at the end of the day, the only thing you can say to me is that I wasn't good enough. And then for you to tell me that having sex with me made you feel horrible, then why did you even touch me?
Mm-hmm.
And the problem with this situation, ma'am, is that if you do not correct your thinking, you can have gotten out of this marriage, which you already have, and get into another relationship and still carry this thought process into the new relationship, which will cause this new relationship to have issues.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying basically your husband is planting a seed in her that is causing a pain body.
It could.
For future issues.
Absolutely. Because again, think about it. If she gets into the next relationship with another guy and she has not resolved this issue and she decides to cook a meal, she's going to be extremely on edge on anything he says about her cooking.
Mm.
If they go to bed, she's going to be very, very sensitive to any little thing that appears to be displeasing about their sexual relationship, which it could be two different kind of odd situations,
mm-hmm.
but she's always going to equate it to what the last husband said about her.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he might have been the underperformer, you know, he might have been the one with the problem, Mr. Two-Minute Thrill. So she may not have been the problem, may have been her, but it doesn't matter. When she enters next relationship, it still may be an issue.
Mm.
So anyway, let's tackle this next one. This next one says, And this is from a guy. This next one says, my wife often mentions other guys from work and tells me what she like about how they dress and look and how much money they make and how much muscles. They were pretty nice, nice and fit, whatever. She thinks it's good conversation, but what she doesn't understand is that all I am hearing is that I am not measuring up to the other guys and that she may be attracted to them and not to me. I don't have a problem with changing if that is what she wants. So how should I address this with her?
First of all, you need to tell your wife how it makes you feel.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that you should keep it a secret or be quiet about something like this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I really feel like you need to discuss with your wife, hey, I don't mind you discussing other men at work and their status and what they're doing and how they dress. Whatever. This is the way it makes me feel. You want to make it as an attack on you're wrong because she may not even know that she's
mm-hmm.
what she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if you let the person know this is how it makes me feel,
mm-hmm.
and if they don't respect that, and you're telling them, hey, I don't like the way this makes me feel,
mm-hmm.
then, okay, you know that they have no respect for your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
So then you have to start digging a little bit deeper. Okay, why does this person not consider that I've already shared with her? I don't like you talking about other men. I don't like you comparing other men
mm-hmm.
to me because this is the way it makes me feel.
Right.
So the first step would be address how it makes you feel.
Yeah.
And then wait for her response from that.
I think that's very good advice because let me give it from a man's point of view. No man wants to feel inadequate in the eyes of his own woman. I think that you're absolutely right. If you don't, you know, if she thinks, I got to give it from two perspectives. Maybe you're overreacting because most of us guys, anytime even mentions another man, that sets up alarms because we're very territorial. So we only want our woman to think about us, to look at us, and just think we're the Greek god, even though we may have a pot belly the size of a watermelon, you know, but it don't matter. In our head, we're just very jealous of any of our woman mentioning any guy. That's just the way we are. So to take it from a different perspective first, maybe she does think it's just, hey, I love my husband. I'm so glad I can have open conversation with him. We can talk about anything, girl. Well, I can talk about anything with my husband. And so maybe that is just it, man. Maybe she's just talking to you, and it's not that she's attracted to them or anything like that. She just is explaining her day, you know. And so if that is how you feel, just let her know. Here's why I'm saying this, and I'm trying to be very careful with this. What you don't want to do is if you have a wife who is very open about, you know, just having a great conversation with you and she just sharing whatever is on her heart, you don't want to put her into a position where she feels like now she has to start critiquing what she says to you, because what's going to happen is if she's a verbal, love to talk kind of person and now she has to be on eggshells talking to you, then what she's going to do is stop talking to you about certain things that she used to feel comfortable about, and she's going to talk to somebody, but it will not be you anymore. So now she's splitting her feelings between sharing what can she share with you and what can she or what who does she need to find to communicate these other feelings with, because it sounds like she just loves communicating. So you want to be able to explain as a guy, hey, you know, this is how it makes me feel. But if it was me, I wouldn't really say it like that, because either way you say it, if she really cares for you, and it sounds like she probably does, she's still going to say, you know what? Yeah, I shouldn't say this anymore to him. And so if she gets to that point of view, she's going to just not share anymore, no matter how delicate you put it. So what I would say is, I would recommend is just ask more questions. So what is it about it? You know, what did you like about it? And just do a reverse engineering process, meaning that based on your questions and the information she provides, now you're not making her feel uncomfortable about sharing with you how she felt or her day or whatever, because it seems like she just enjoys communicating with you. But from there, you can glean the answers that you seek. Okay, so it was some outfit that he got from here. Okay, and it was this. Okay, and then this guy, then if this is what you want to do, because it sounds like you're a great guy, you don't have a problem with changing, from the questions and answer, the Q&A that you're having with her, now you can put together, okay, maybe I need to work out a little bit more. Maybe, you know, she likes this style of guy, and normally I always dress this way, but maybe I can add this to my repertoire of attire that when we go out on a date, if she keeps mentioning that this style that this guy has is a little more preppy kind of look, maybe that's not my thing. Maybe I'm just a simple guy who loves blue jeans and T-shirts, but maybe I can just step it up a little bit, you know, to keep her interested in me as well. So, you know, I'm not making her close down on me, but at the same time, I'm constantly making sure that I'm the most attractive guy in her eyes. So what do you think about that?
It's a good suggestion. I do think asking more questions, what about it, this young man or these guys that you find to be so appealing? And you can take that information and make some, I guess, some changes if you feel necessary, if you feel it's necessary. But I still question the fact that this person said if they have a problem with changing it, that is what she wants. In other words, you're already feeling like you're not good enough, you're not measuring up.
Mm-hmm.
So you're already questioning yourself about whether she approves your style. So I think that you need to ask questions, not about them, the other men, but okay, you like their style. Maybe ask questions about what are some things about my style that you like, and what are some things about my style that you don't like, again. Because you don't want to make it about other people outside of your relationship. I think that's a dangerous thing to do, because your relationship is sacred and your relationship should be something that reflects you two as a couple. So what is it about our relationship that you feel would be beneficial to help us grow as a couple? What is it? What are some things that you like about the way I dress? What are some things, because you may not like the way I wear my hair. I might not like the fact that you wear tennis shoes all the time. I may want you to dress up a little bit more, or I may want my wife to wear heels more often and to wear dresses more. She's always in jeans. So I think you need to have conversation with your spouse about us and not them. Because if you make it about them, then they're dictating your relationship from afar, and you don't, and they're not even there. But you're allowing them to dictate how you two
are. That's deep. Girl, when I said we going to the deep end, you pulled out the shovel and the scuba gear and went to digging, didn't you? Wow. Didn't even see it like that. Wow. Yeah, you're right. I guess you're right. I think talking about what you said hurt me, the topic, we're going to have to do more on this, because I feel like a lot of times, you know, we gained so much value from other people's perceptions of us. And the danger is that if we continue to do that, then we will never really know who we are. We will never really value ourselves. We will never really appreciate how God made us, who God made us to be, and what we offer to this world. I think that's the danger of us always gleaning our knowledge of who we are based on your perceptions, when in essence, I'm not even taking into account the source. Who are you? What do you offer? Why do you see me this way? Or let me put it like this. Are you even worth taking into consideration about your perceptions of me? I think this is dangerous territory. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I think we as humans, we want to feel accepted. We want to feel like we want to feel like we belong, basically. And so I think that a lot of times when we get dressed, unless you have your own unique style and you are comfortable with yourself, many times we get dressed not for us, but we're dressing for what other people will think if we put this outfit on. I know a lot of times I'm very conscious about what I wear to work because I don't want people to be focused on what I have on and not take me serious as a person.
Mm-hmm.
Because people do judge you based on what? First appearance.
Mm-hmm.
Based on the way you dress, based on the way you speak.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I think that perceptions are important because perceptions can be negative or positive. It just depends on the lens in which they're being perceived from.
Okay, we run out of time, but I got to ask this question talking about that since you brought it up, Lady Sagacity. All men want to know this answer. Why is it that y'all pretty women would dress up, spend 2 hours getting prettied up? No, no, you don't, but I'm just simply, you know, just metaphorically speaking. Women will get just absolutely gorgeous, looking like supermodels walking out the door, and then get angry when a guy actually acknowledges them. Why is it like that? That don't make no sense to us at all. Why?
Well, I don't do that.
I know you don't, but just, you know, just entertain us.
To be honest with you, I cannot answer that question because I've never had that experience where I just negatively responded to a person when they gave me a compliment. I accept it with a gracious attitude, and I keep it moving.
Wow. Okay. We're going to let you up out of that one. Okay. Whatever.
I can't answer that one.
Yeah, okay.
You'd have to take a and ask women that question on why they don't like compliments from men.
Mm. Y'all, brothers, y'all seen how she slipped up out of that one? We ain't going to let her out next time, so easy.
Hey, I can only speak for myself. I can't speak for the millions of other women out there.
Yeah, okay.
We all have our own issues.
Yeah, y'all do. Whatever. All right, everybody. Well, listen, we're going to wrap it up. Thank you for listening to today's show. I really appreciate that you guys are tuning in, and we are going to be on here next week. Talking about many more things, and also we're going to be taking in some topics from you guys. One of the topics I can't wait that we deal with is, oh my God, and you actually came up with this good one, having a discussion around people being sexually selfish in a relationship. Ain't that crazy?
Mm.
You want to please yourself, but don't consider who you're in bed with to make sure that they're pleased. And the Bible clearly says that the bed is undefiled, and we'll talk about that. But the deal is that you always have to keep in mind that you're not the only one in this relationship that God has blessed this union to be. It's you and me. The two shall become one. So while this half is being pleased, the other half ain't. Sometimes that's why we have relationship friction issues. So we're going to deal with that one on next week. Until then, everybody, like I said, visit our Facebook page, which is Couples Conflict, and our email address is theconflictsoflife@gmail.com. You have to put the T-H-E, theconflictsoflife@gmail.com. All right, everybody, peace and hair grease. Talk to you guys next week. Bye-bye. Hey.